Well, Harmon Killebrew played 22 years in professional baseball, Major League Baseball, 11-time All-Star selection, and as we said, finished a very fine career with 573 career home runs. That's fifth on the all-time list. He had 40 or more home runs in eight times, and I remember as a youngster, and I'm not trying to date you there, Harmon, but I remember as a youngster watching you with the Washington Senators and marveling at the towering home runs that you, Bob Allison, Frank Howard, all you guys used to just pop out of the stadium there.
Ron, how old are you?
I was just a youngster, Harmon.
Sure. Well, that's when I was very, very young also.
Yeah.
It's nice to be with you again, Ron.
Yeah, it's good. How are you feeling, first of all?
Well, I'm feeling very well, thank you. I had kind of a tough summer last year, but gotten through all that, and I'm feeling just great.
Well, it seems that even in retirement, Harmon, that you're traveling as much as you used to when you were a player. I see you were in Anaheim for the National Sports Memorabilia Show last week, and now you're off to Portland, and then you're going to do a couple of shows in Japan.
Well, that's true. It's very funny because I thought when I finished playing ball, I wouldn't travel as much, and then I got into broadcasting, and that was even more traveling, I guess, than when I was playing. And then after that, I thought I would be through traveling so much, but it seems that today I'm even traveling more than when I was broadcasting.
A fellow great hitter, a home run hitter, Ted Williams, I don't know whether you either read or saw the comment that he made about pitchers on a team saying they were the dumbest part of the team.
Ted has been saying that for a long time.
What's your view of them?
Well, let's put it this way. The pitchers are a little bit different. They're different than the players that play every day. There's no question about that. They think differently.
When you came up, you were a bonus baby signed by the Senators, and you signed a week before your 18th birthday, and I think how you even got to professional baseball was rather unique, wasn't it?
Well, I guess you're talking about being recommended by a United States Senator.
Right.
I came from a small town in Idaho, and we had a United States Senator by the name of Furman Welker from that town in Payette, a small town by the name of Payette, and Senator Welker used to go out to the ballpark in Washington, the Griffith Stadium, and became very good friends with Clark Griffith, who owned the ball club. And he kept telling Mr. Griffith about a kid out in Idaho he thought could help the Washington Senators. And he told him so much about me that I think more than anything else, just to keep Senator Welker quiet, he sent Ossie Bluegee out to see me, who was the farm director of the Washington club at that time. And he asked me to come back and work out with the Washington Senators. And I said, well, I appreciate that, but I had accepted a scholarship to play football and baseball at the University of Oregon at the time and had not wanted to sign. But that night, it had rained, and Mr. Bluegee came to Payette, and the townspeople there knew there was a scout in the stands, and they got the field in order, and we played the ball game that night, and I happened to hit a home run over the fence, and the next day Mr. Bluegee went out and stepped it off, and it was 435 feet, and he thought that was a pretty good hit for a 17-year-old kid. So he called Mr. Griffith and told him he thought that they should try to sign me, and he left a contract in Senator Welker's law office there, and I thought about it, and my father had passed away, and I talked it over with my mother and my older brother, and baseball is what I wanted to do with my life, so I decided to sign at that time with the Washington Senators.
I don't know how much exposure you had had out of the state of Idaho, but I remember talking to Catfish Hunter and him telling me at one time, because he had come from North Carolina, he said, you know, Ron, he says, I got scared to death when I went to New York for the first time as a youngster. As a young player, he said, because I saw these people going down in this hole and they weren't coming back up. Of course, they were going down into the subway. What was it like for a youngster from Idaho when he got exposed to the big cities?
Well, it was kind of scary going to the nation's capital because things were a little bit different there than they were in some of the other places that we played ball. And people like President Eisenhower used to come out to ballpark, vice presidents, members of the cabinet. It was a different scene. And for a young kid from Idaho who had hardly been out of the state, it was experience.
What was your career batting average?
Not very much. I never hit for a high average, Ron. I think it was 256 was my overall average.
Well, the reason I ask that is does that go hand in hand with the home run hitter, because they talk about the guy that hits the home run being the free swinger, or does it not necessarily have to be that way?
Not necessarily. There are a lot of guys that do hit for both an average and the long ball. Hank Aaron is a good example of that. He combined both an average and the home run. Willie Mays was another one. So generally speaking, though, the guys that do hit the long ball and have the free swing don't hit for a higher average.
Taking a look at the career home runs that you had, the number of home runs you had would indicate to me that you must have had some guys in front of you and back of you that made sure that when Harmon Killebrew came to the plate, he saw some pretty good pitches.
Well, we had some good hitting ball clubs in the days when I played in Minnesota. Well, actually, when we were in Washington, too, you mentioned some guys there. We had Bob Allison, Jim Lemon, Roy Sievers, and myself, who hit a lot of home runs while we were there. And then we moved on to Minnesota, and we became a real good ball club. We got some guys like Rod Carew and Tony Oliva, and they were always on base. And boy, if you didn't drive any runs in on that ball club, there was something wrong with you.
I've often heard it say that when you come to the plate, you only really get one pitch that you really can hit. Is that indeed true?
Well, sometimes that's true. Not only one time at the plate, but maybe one time in a ball game, you might get a pitch that you can hit, and you better you hit it, or you've lost it for the day. Sometimes you go in a ball game and you get a lot of them, and you just can't hit them.
How many times did you try to outthink the pitcher as to what he'd be throwing you?
Well, you know, I think that's part of the game of baseball. The hitter tries to outthink the pitcher, and the pitcher tries to outthink the hitter, and that's really where the whole ball game is. And the last few years that I played, that was a part of the game that I really liked the most.
Mm-hmm. Breaking down the home run swing, can you kind of take us through it? Is it wrist speed? Is it bat speed? Is it getting your weight forward? Is it picking up the ball as quickly as you can? A combination of all of that. Take me through a home run swing.
Well, I think it's a combination of all of that. I think what I tried to do as a hitter is use my whole body. People ask me if you use your wrists or just what you do, and I think the main thing you do in hitting not only the long ball but driving a ball through the infield quickly is you try to wait as long as you possibly can, and then bat speed is the most important thing, and you try to get your hips and your forearms and your wrists and everything into it all at once.
You had some very memorable home runs. I suppose the one at Tiger Stadium would be one of many that you remember.
Well, I think you're talking about the first ball hit over the left field roof in Tiger Stadium, and of course I'll always remember that when I was with Jim Bunning the other day, and somebody was kidding Jim if he threw that cross seams or with the seams. But yeah, I'll always remember that one, and why it went up there, I'll never know.
Did you go up there ever trying to hit a home run?
You know, I've heard a lot of hitters say that they never tried to hit a home run, and I don't know if they're not telling the truth or they really went up there that way, because I tried to hit a lot of home runs, and I did hit a lot of home runs when I was trying to. Of course, it seems like more often than not, when you're trying to hit a home run, you overswing, you pop the ball up, or you swing and miss. But I tried to go with the situation, the ball game. If the situation called for a long ball, that's what I tried to do. Or if it was in a situation, a ball game where a single would help win the game, I tried to do that also.
Does a home run hitter really have more success against a power pitcher than they would against, say, a finesse pitcher or a breaking ball pitcher because of just the natural tendency to go after things, to be aggressive?
Well, that's a good question, Ron. I hit a lot of home runs off of real good hard throwers, and hit some off of the other kind too. But for a guy that is a free swinger, I think that you're probably right. It's tougher off of a guy that throws slow stuff. Now, one of the guys that gave me more trouble than anybody else that I ever faced was a little relief pitcher that pitched for the Giants in the National League. And the first time I saw him, he was blown off the mound in the All-Star game in 1961, and you'll remember who I'm talking about.
Stu Miller.
That's right. Stu came over to Baltimore in the American League and was there 5 years, and I could never hit him. He was really tough.
Hold on. Harmon Killebrew, Hall of Famer, has joined us and you this hour on Sports Byline USA. Full bank of calls. We'll try to free up a couple of the lines. But when we come back, we'll let you talk baseball with Harmon Killebrew on Sports Byline.